Good evening to everyone. We're glad you're here. We're thankful to be here. We desire your prayers tonight. I have a serious subject on my heart. It's going to take the Lord to help me get it out. I appreciate the song. Sometimes you go through months or years of physical affliction, and it can be a little wearing on the body, the heart, the mind, and I'm kind of there in some ways right now. But I found God's grace is sufficient. His power is all-powerful, and He's able to help us. I appreciate that. Let's go to Genesis, the first chapter, please. We look into the Word of the Lord on a subject tonight that, like I said, is quite serious. First chapter of Genesis in the 26th and 27th verse said, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. I want to move to Ecclesiastes 12 and 7. Ecclesiastes 12 and 7, please. It said here, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. I want to work on a subject tonight and discuss the subject here if you want to say it. It's your soul. Now last night and this morning tied together, and in a sense of the word, I'm going to tie both of them into mine for the simple reason that you have a soul. Every one of us in here has a soul. And the consequence is, it's yours. And I want to get into deeper in that a little bit later. But the bottom line is, God created us. He created us in the image after Him, and that's not the way we look. But the bottom line is, it's in the holiness, it's in righteousness. God created us to have a life of holiness and righteousness and godliness like He has. A life that would be something that would be a blessing to other people. A life that would challenge people and stir people, encourage and uplift people. A life that would do things that would be better than the drinking and the drugging and the smoking and all those things. But it would be a fulfilling life that would be blessed by the very power of God. You've got a soul, and it's your soul. All right, let's go to Ephesians 4 and 20 to tie things in just a little bit tighter here. If I'd get in the right spot, it always reads right. Ephesians 4 and 20 through 24. He said, but you've not so learned Christ. Even so be that you have heard Him, and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Colossians, the 3rd chapter and the 9th verse. He said, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of Him that created him. Thank the Lord tonight, there is a righteous way. There is a way of blessings. People think that you can't live above sin, and you've got to be in the hog pen, and and wallow with a bunch of pigs and so forth. And people can do that if they want to. But I'm here tonight to tell you there's something better than that. There's a life of salvation that goes far beyond the ways of sin and the corruption and the depths that people go into. And the bottom line is, no matter how you go, which way you go, and the things you do, the bottom line is it's your soul. And you can never separate the soul and the body except at the time when God calls you out into eternity. Before that point, it's your soul. You can decide what you want to do with it. You can decide you can go the corrupt way, or you can decide to go the righteous way. But the bottom line tonight, it's your soul. It's your soul that you're going to be dealing with. Let's go to Mark the 8th chapter. I want to get down to the main part of my burden here. And that is the value of the soul. I've been privileged to work in gender work, if you want to say it that way, off and on for many, many years. I've been in some mansions. I love to look at mansions. I love to look at the way they're built. I got a little bit of carpenter in me, and I got a whole lot of gender in me. And when you mix the two, I want to see how it's all done. I want to see the dust if it's there, and I want to condemn it in my mind, so to speak. And ladies, I don't carry a pack of white gloves with me to go around to your homes. But the bottom line, when I'm out tourizing and I'm paying the bucks to look at the houses, I want to look at how they're made. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I've seen a bunch of them. And I've been in mansions and I've cleaned them, and I know the insides and the places of the concealed things and so forth. I know those things. But the bottom line, the soul is more valuable than all of that. 8:34, the good book of Mark says, "And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said to them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man that if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of the Father, his Father, with the holy angels." Now folks, the bottom line is you have a possession. I am never going to be rich. I dare say most people in here will never be what I call rich. But the bottom line, you have a possession called your soul that's more valuable than anything else in the world. I'm talking about your single soul. I'm not talking about everybody's soul in here, but I'm talking about your very own soul that you possess, the one that you were born with. That soul is worth more than all the airplanes that's ever been built, all the mansions that's ever been built, all the trains that run on the tracks, all the gold that's in the banks, all the banks and all the money they've got. Your soul is worth more than that. It's worth more than Jeff Bezos. He's got billions. But listen, one soul is more valuable and worth more than that. All the money that Jeff and all of the others have got, praise God. Your soul is valuable tonight. Yes, yes. And the Lord said, "Well, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world?" Gain the whole world. More than likely, nobody else in here will be able to do that. But if you did, and you lost your soul, what's it going to profit you? It won't. You will lose the most valuable thing at the end. If you die lost, and stand before Christ, and you hear Him say, "Depart from me, you wicked, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." If you hear that, that's not going to be a blessing at the end of your life. But if you hear Him say, "Come and receive the things of the kingdom that prepared for you from the foundation of the world," that will be a blessing. But tonight, you and I want to put the right amount, the right value, everything that we need to, on the very bottom, that your soul is worth more than all the world. Some people want to play around. And what is so sad, you look at the lives. Molly had a nephew. He was the first grandson of the family. He was a favorite son for several years. Well loved. Very talented. His grandpa, on his father's side was a preacher. And Molly said he was a good man. And he made the statement, he said, when I die, I want to die preaching in the pulpit. That's exactly what he did. But he took this grandson, and I believe another grandson, and he worked with him. He took him to church with him. He taught him carpenter. He was a contractor. He taught him carpenter, and Joy was good at it. But Joy went on, and his daddy went the wrong way, which was my wife's first brother-in-law, or her only sister's husband, first husband. And he went the wrong way. And when he did, he started taking this boy with him. No matter how much Grandpa done, the boy was still being influenced by Daddy. And it took him down, and it took him down, and he went lower, and he went lower, and he went lower. And they bailed him out. The family gave thousands and thousands of dollars to help him. But he just kept going back. He couldn't get the victory. And the reason he couldn't, because he wasn't turning to the right source. He wasn't turning to the source of deliverance and power. And he kept going down and down, in and out and up and down. He could not get where he needed to be. He couldn't come out and stay out. He kept going back into the crux of sin that so damaged him and done such horrible things in his life. One year, well, Molly got married on the 30th of June of 18. And that boy hit the bottom about that time. And he called his aunt, and he called his aunt, and he called his aunt, and he couldn't get a hold of her. Finally, he called his mom and said, "Where's Aunt Molly?" "Son, she's gotten married." "Married?" "Yeah, she got married, and she's off on her honeymoon." Said, "Call Uncle Joe." So she called. He called Uncle Joe. And what had happened, saints? Let me tell you young people something. The devil can make some of this glitter and shine, but this young man had it. In his lifetime, he had made good money when he was living a halfway straight life. He had made very good money. He could have been a millionaire in his own right. But the devil kept showing glitter, and he kept following that dream. That carrot out there kept following that carrot. And he hit the bottom of the barrel. And when he did, his own friends of the world, I want you to mark this down, young people, the very friends of his in the world walked away from him and left him there. He was about to get hungry. He didn't have no place to stay. He had no car to drive. He had no money in his pocket. And he was crying out, "Help! I'm hungry. I need something." Listen, his soul was involved all those years in sin. And the bottom line was, he had bewildered his mind, his heart, and his soul, and his body. And there he was. He was at the bottom of the barrel begging for somebody to help him. His soul. Well, his Uncle Joe went and got him. The family made a pact. That the only way he's going to get things is through Uncle Joe. We ain't giving him a dime. So, this one gives some, that gives some. Help buy food, help buy clothes, and so forth. And he started going to church. And he went to the altar. And I didn't know I was going to get into all this, so you pray. And he went to the altar. And the Lord saved his soul. I helped preach his funeral. And I heard his pastor tell of what he did. What he did and how he done it. And it was a blessing to hear what Joey done. But we knew he was changed. We knew he wasn't the same. God reached out and took a filthy, dirty individual, so to speak, and he brought him up and he brought him out. His soul that had been in such corruption, so to speak, for so long, the heart, the mind, he began to change, and he got saved, and he got delivered, and he come out, and he was singing songs, he was reading his Bible, he was going to meeting, he was doing things he hadn't done in years, praise God. It was his soul. It went on for just about 1 year. And we got a call in West Virginia. And Joy had died of a massive heart attack at the age of 42. Did all those years in sin hurt him? Yeah, probably did. Did that drinking and drugging, all those nights running the bars and running with the dope crowd, did it hurt him? Yeah, probably did. It took him down, down, down. And now then he was laying in a hospital. His Uncle Joe rushed to his side. Like we said, we was in West Virginia. His mama and stepdad was down in Florida. And his Uncle Bruce was up in Roanoke, Virginia, so Uncle Joe was the closest to him. And he rushed to him, and he died just before he got there. He was gone. Out into eternity. I'm going to tell you tonight, the soul is valuable, folks. The soul is valuable. And I want to encourage you that it's more valuable than all the things that you can amass and get and do. I want to be a multimillionaire. I want to have your big homes. I want to have your money and your pretty wives and your cars and all these different things. I was setting my goal for that. But the night I got saved, God told me you can be ever so rich and I can take it from you in a moment's time. I give it all up that night. And God's been good to this old boy. I have a home to live in. I got a pretty wife, a car to drive, two cars, matter of fact. And the Lord's been good. Got a little money in the bank. Can pay my bills by the blessings of the Lord. And tonight, it's what you set your focus on. I want you to set your focus tonight on the highest, most valuable thing. The thing, the soul, the being that God created in you. And He wants you to take that. He wants you to bless that soul by the Spirit of God. He wants you to lift it up. He wants you to encourage it and strengthen it and feed it and challenge it and have it in meeting and camp meeting and Wednesday night. He wants you to testify. He wants you to do all the things that He wants you to do. Not what you want to do. Oh, tonight, the soul is more valuable. The soul is more valuable. All right, let's go to Psalms 119, 109. It said, my soul is continually in my hand. My soul. I've loved this scripture for many, many years. My soul is continually in my hand. I'm going to tell you folks tonight, you can do what you want to do, but I'm going to tell you, your soul is going to be right with you. It's going to be with you all the way down your life. You're not going to be able to get rid of it. It's your soul. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you have something valuable, what do you do with it? How many of you take it and just throw it out in the mud, let it get dirty and filthy? You take it and you keep it clean. You protect it. You watch over it. One brother told me he had a neighbor, said he washed his car every day. Well, that might be a little too much in some ways, but you can't do too much to bless the soul. In other words, what I mean by that, you can't go to service too much. You can't read too much or pray too much or fast too much. Those are the things that's blessing the soul. It's your soul, see? And it's valuable. And it's in your hand. It's in your possession. What are you going to do with it tonight? Many a people have fallen the road that Joey followed. And it's been a hard road. But I'm going to tell you tonight, there's a better way. I started this way when I was 18. I've been in it nearly 50. Well, I've been going to meeting 50 years now. And I wouldn't take thousands and thousands of dollars. Keep Jeff's money. Keep Berkshire Hathaway's money. I can't think of his name. The guy that got Apple. I can't think of his name neither. But anyway, let him have all the riches. Just give me Jesus. Just give me Jesus. See, my soul's involved. We need to get a proper perspective of the soul and the value of that soul. And it's in our hands tonight. What are we going to do with it? How are we going to treat it? How are we going to take care of it? Listen tonight, the Lord wants to bless that soul. He wants to fire it up and set it on fire. He wants to do things for you that nobody else can do, praise God, in working with you down through the years. And at the end, say, come unto me, you blessed, inherit the kingdom, praise God, prepared for you from the foundation of the world. He wants to give you something good. My soul is continually. It's not a thing where you have it 1 week and drop it off the next. Or have it half a month and drop it off 2 weeks of the deal. It is continually, all the time. Yet do I not forget thy law. Listen, folks, tonight, you know what's wrong with the United States? They forgot the law of God. They took the prayer out of school. They took Bible reading out of school. They took the Ten Commandments down. They done everything they could do to destroy the Word of God. But the bottom line is, you and I are going to deal with the Word of God at the very end of our life. He says, I don't forget the law. You do not want to forget that law. If you hold on to that, remember that, work with that, that's going to help you to remember it's your soul. It's going to help you to know that I've got something valuable to work with day in and day out. This is not something that you play up and down. This is something that should be solid, a solid straight line of living for God continuously. Oh, he said, my soul is continually in my hand. All right, let's go to Proverbs. 15th chapter and 31st verse. 15:31 of Proverbs. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. But he that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. So he said here, the ear that heareth. Now my daughters, I was 30 when I married the first time, 34 when we had our first baby. And my daughters like to throw things up at me, and I figure every parent has had that. And I would tell them, I said, listen gals, I wasn't born yesterday. I've been around a while, seen a little bit, done a little bit. So I wasn't born, I know a little bit. And here you're saying this or you're saying that. Listen tonight. The wisest thing you can do tonight is listen to God and to Jesus and to the Holy Ghost. And if you've got saved parents, listen to their counsel. Yes. Your grandparents, if they're saved. Your preachers, your pastor, your evangelists, listen to them. Pay close attention to the messages. Get off your phones. Turn them off. Whatever you need to do. But the bottom line is, pay attention to what they tell you. This is going to get you wisdom. It's going to get you understanding. And your life will be among the wise. I'm going to tell you, people want to be wise. And they go to school. And they go to colleges and university and all this just to be wise. Here's the greatest book to be wise in right here. This is what you need to drill in. You need to memorize. When mom and daddy starts giving you verses and your Sunday school teachers are giving you verses, I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do is read them, study them, and memorize them. The younger you get it down in your head, the better off you are. Tonight I'm pleading with you. Remember, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. But he that refuseth instruction... There's a lot of people out there that has refused instruction. It's given them a lot of problems when they've done that. And tonight, the Lord wants you and I to remember it's your soul. It is your soul, and the Lord wants to work with that soul. But if you refuse the instruction of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, and you refuse instruction of your mother and your daddy that is saved, your grandparents that are saved, family that's saved, your pastor, the ministers, the teachers. If you do that, you're going to despise. In other words, you're showing him that it's not a value that it ought to be. Listen, God knows the value of your soul. He knows it, and you don't want to despise that in the eyes of God or anyone else. Oh, he said, despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Yes. Let's go to the 8th chapter of Proverbs, 34th verse. The value of the soul. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates and waiting at the post my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So thinking about it, said, blessed man that heareth me and watching daily at my gates. In other words, you're constantly interested, desiring. The Lord knows whether we want something from God or whether we don't. He knows what we're interested in and what we're not interested in. He knows if we're there chomping at the bits, if you could say it that way, for more from God. He knows that. We don't have to tell him that. He can read our heart. He knows it. Some young people are interested in this. Some young people are interested in that. But I'm going to tell you the greatest thing you can do is be interested. Interested, watching daily. In other words, interested in looking. I want something good. But whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Let me tell you something. I want to give every young person in here a challenge tonight. I want you to take the book of Proverbs and I want you to read it from cover, from front to back. I got into it when we was in COVID, and I don't know what got me into Proverbs, but I got to reading, and I read chapter after chapter after chapter, and it challenged me and stirred me, because the book of Proverbs, it tells you how gross sin is, but how great salvation is. It tells you to live a good life and run from the bad life. It tells you to leave the wrong women alone. It tells you to do the right thing. It done it over and over and over. I told Molly, I'm amazed. It didn't spare a thing. It laid it out like it was. Listen tonight, Lord. It's going to lay it out like it is. And then when you and I get to the judgment and we haven't done what we ought to do and we've despised our own soul, the bottom line is he can say, depart from me, and be clear in doing it. It's not that he is trying to cast us into hell, but the bottom line is we send our own selves to hell. Because we refuse his instruction. We refuse his spirit. Listen, folks, the very one that can take you to heaven, if you tie his hand and push you back, where are you going to be? You're going to be in trouble when you get to death's door. You need to have him say, come. Be with me. Spend time with me. But whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor. We want that favor. We want those blessings. We want that glory. It's nice to have friends if you need help. Somebody that can give you some ideas. Somebody that can maybe help you do it. I've had that down through the years. I had a beautiful situation when I had the work I was doing with John Wigger in the auto mall. He had mechanics. He had a detail shop. And I was working for him, and he helped me out. He would do things for me and charge me, just say, alternator cost $50. That ain't the price of it, but say, well, he'd only charge me $50. Maybe not charge me any labor at all. That was a blessing. But I'm going to tell you, Jesus Christ is better than that. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth. He that sinneth. People say a little sin don't hurt anybody, does it? He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. It's your soul. It's your valuable soul. It's the soul that belongs to you. It's continually in your hands. Now then, just how valuable is it to you? He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. And all that hate me love death. How valuable is that soul tonight? Is it valuable enough to walk away from sin? Is it valuable enough to stop the sin business? Is it valuable enough to leave the beer alone, and the whiskey alone, and the vodka alone, and all that kind of stuff, and the drugs alone, and the gambling alone, and the smoking alone? Is it valuable enough to you to do that? Well, then don't you go find out how valuable it is when you get to eternity. You and I need to put a high value on our soul, high enough that I'm not willing to go out and commit sin, because if I do that, I am wronging your soul. You're damaging your soul. You're going to find out that Jesus puts a high value on your soul. He died for that soul. When he appeared to me in 1985 in Oregon out there, and he spoke to me, I saw him in a vision in an archway door, and he pointed to me. He said, I died for you, child. I died for you. Listen, folks, he didn't die for the whole world in a sense of the word, but the bottom line is he died for every one of us individually. He gave his life. He spilled his blood. He suffered all the pain that he suffered. And if you go sinning against him, you're wronging your valuable, immortal soul. And they that hate me love death. Oh, tonight, Lord, have mercy. The Lord wants to give you something much better. I want you young people to remember how valuable this soul is. It's more valuable than anything else. You will never have anything as valuable as your soul. If you own the whole world, the value of the soul is worth more than that. All right, let's go to Psalms 106. Psalms 106 and 8. Nevertheless, he saveth them for his name's sakes, that he might make his mighty power to be known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. It was dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him that hated them. He redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. And the waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. They believed, then believed they his words, and they sang his praise. They soon forgot his works, and they waited not for his counsel. They lusted exceedingly in the wilderness, and they tempted God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness unto their soul. They envied Moses also in the camp, and Aaron the saint of the Lord. Now he said, they lusted exceedingly in the wilderness. They tempted God in the desert. Listen, folks, tonight, the Lord done very good to the children of Israel. He gave them exactly the greatest food that they could have, but they looked back. And they kept thinking about the melons and the leeks. They kept looking at other things back there. And they thought about that. They didn't like that old manna. Well, you got to do this. You got to do that. Give us quail. Give us meat to eat. Well, the Lord done that. But he sent leanness. I'm going to tell you tonight, you can fool around lusting after things and you can get lean in your soul. Because that little bit of desire, and I'm not saying about it, maybe a bad lust, but say you look out and you want something, and you begin to move toward it. Well, it don't look so bad. Well, I can do that. I can still be spiritual and do that. And you keep reaching just a little bit more and a little bit more. It's your soul. A little bit more, a little bit more. Well, next thing you know, you want to skip service to go do something with it. Next thing you know, you're skipping both services on Sunday and Wednesday night. Hadn't testified in 2 or 3 weeks. And before long, you find out, as one man put it in Myrtle many, many years ago, he said, I woke up one day and I looked at it and I was backslid. He said it happened over a period of time slowly. He didn't happen overnight. He didn't go out and commit a great sin and backslid. He just got a little bit looser and a little bit this and a little bit that. And finally he woke up one day and he was backslid. He got leaner and leaner. Listen, folks, today the Lord doesn't want you lean. If we need to get lean in any way, it's this way, not the soul's way. He needs us to be fat in the soul and have power and glory and authority. That's what he wants us to do. But they fooled around and they done things they shouldn't do. And he sent leanness. They got their own selves into trouble because they lusted after those things. Are you wanting anything tonight that really you shouldn't have? And I'm not talking maybe great sin or anything. I'm just talking about something. Some people say, well, there sure is a pretty unsaved girl down in my neighborhood. I kind of like to go with her. Or there's a handsome fellow at school and kind of like him. I like to go with him. He's unsaved. Listen, folks, and I listen to the Bible. The Bible directs you to go with saved people and sanctified people, the saints of the church of God, to be with your own body. Not to go outside and marry people out there. He wants you to marry those that he wants you to have. He told me in 1975, he spoke to me one morning. And I might say after I'd been right down here to Hammond, Louisiana, at the old tabernacle. And I'd down here and there were some pretty girls down here. And I went back and I was thinking one morning about these girls. Nothing wrong. I just thinking about this one and that one. Maybe this one would be nice to go with, or that one would be nice to go with. The Lord walked up right here beside me, and he spoke in an audible tone. He said, if you're going to be a preacher for me, he said, you let me choose your companion. That put a seriousness over me. And then after he spoke to me like that, He gave me a vision, so to speak, of an understanding, maybe it's a better way. And he let me know that if I married the right woman, she could help me make heaven. If I married the wrong woman, she could take me to hell with her. And that really brought a seriousness over me. And then when I hit 25, I really got serious. And that's why it took me over a year before I would ask Rebecca to marry me, because I was very serious about it. I didn't want to make a mistake. Oh, but Brother Carl, you don't understand. Yeah, I do too. I think I understand. I've seen around. I've been around. I've seen some things in my lifetime. Tonight, you need to marry who the Lord wants you to marry. He's interested in you marrying among the church of God. And he said here, he sent leanness. I'm going to tell you, the devil can make things look real good. That pretty girl and that handsome husband, or handsome boy. He's 6'2", and boy, he just looks wonderful. She's got beautiful hair, and she's just the sweetest thing in town. But if she's not saved and sanctified, you better run the other way. If you're going to live for God, you better live with one that's saved. Because if you don't, you're going to have the worst father-in-law in the business you could ever have. Oh, tonight, I didn't know I was going to get into this, but Lord, help us tonight. It's your soul. Do you want your soul to go to heaven? How many of us want to make heaven tonight? How many of us want to have victory and power and authority? How many of us want to do the will of God? Listen, there's a way to do it, and that is to get your soul in the proper position in your mind that I'm going to do what God wants me to do and not what I want to do. That's the reason we teach sanctification. It not only gives you a power, but you're surrendering your all to God. All right, let's move over here to 107 and 1. That's the good book of Psalms, 107 and 1. I love this chapter. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. He gathered them out of the land from the east, from the west, from the north, and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for the wonderful works. His wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul. And he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Oh, I'm going to tell you, but they rebelled against the words of God and condemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Tonight, saints, he said, therefore he satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Listen, if you're hungering for God, if you're longing and desiring more of God, he's the one that can satisfy above anything else. There, nothing can touch it. Have you ever gone out and bought you something new? Say a tool, brethren. And I bought new tools. And oh boy, I'm just excited to use it and so forth. But after a while, it loses all that glitter and glam. It's just another tool in the toolbox. Wives, they buy this stuff. I bought things for Molly Ann for the kitchen. And might use it a little while. And then it just become part of the kitchen. Ain't no big exciting thing anymore. Listen tonight, he satisfieth. I'm going to tell you, he can satisfy you when nothing else can. He can get out there in the middle of the night. He can give you glory. He can give you blessings. He can give you encouragement and strength. I'm going to tell you, you can read in his word and it'll fire you and encourage you and uplift you. And you say, well, I like this book or that book. Listen, folks, I don't read much anymore but out of the word of God and God's books. Don't have much time for any of that. The God's gracious dealings, the truth that Brother Nelson sends out and so forth. Brother Michael Smith's things, might be reading that at 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning because they didn't sleep. But the bottom line, he said he satisfieth. If you're longing tonight for God, if you're not saved here tonight, he is the only thing that can satisfy the depth of the longing soul. He's the only one that can fill it, the hungry soul, with goodness. There is nothing out there People have searched and searched and searched. They've done all kinds of things to satisfy the hunger and the desire of their soul. It's their soul. Their soul is reaching out to God and they want something better. And they don't turn to the right sort. I'm going to tell you tonight, Jesus is the way He'll satisfy the soul. He'll satisfy your soul. And He will do it in a way that will just absolutely astound you. I've heard all kinds of stories of people that got saved. They don't remember what the preacher preached. They maybe not remember anything about the whole service. But they got down to the altar. And they got a connection and a salvation there that night. And they knew something happened. They knew something happened. He wasn't the same. They got up free and happy and redeemed. Praise God. And they went their way rejoicing. You can ask them years later. And that's all they can pin you back to right there. They can't remember much of anything else, but the main thing they can remember, and that is He satisfies. He satisfies the longing, the hungering, the desiring soul tonight. He satisfies the depths of it. Nothing else can do that. It's your soul tonight. Do you want to be satisfied? You need to go after the one that can satisfy. All right, let's move to another place in Psalms 23. 23 of Psalms. He said here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they cover me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Said He restoreth my soul. The 2nd of April, I believe it was, Brother Ed and I was at a funeral service in Shawnee. I buried one of my best friends that day. But Brother Ron, a number of years ago, before I went to serve as pastor at Shawnee, He went to California, him and I believe his son-in-law, Darren, and they went out there to pick up an old 31 Ford car that wasn't much good of anything. It was all rusty, had no tires on it. It wasn't anything much of anything but just the frame and the body. And they picked it up and they put it on a trailer and they hauled it back to Shawnee and they went to restoring that thing. Now, number one, to restore a car like that's going to cost you a mighty penny. And on top of that, you better get somebody that knows what he's doing, because not anybody can take a car that far gone and bring it back to its glory. But Brother Marty, you've seen it. Brother Ed, you've seen it. And maybe some of the rest of us in here have seen it. Those from the Oklahoma area, they've seen what they've done with that car. They restored it. They put it back to pristine conditions. And ever so often, I'd be out in front of the house, I'd hear this toot, toot, oogle, oogle, and look out, and there's Brother Ron Sisjoyce going up 18. Oh, beautiful car. I'm going to tell you, there's only one person that is able to take and restore the soul, and that's Jesus Christ. You don't want anybody messing with your soul but Jesus Christ. Some people say, well, what about this preacher, that? Preachers can help you, but there's only one that can take a soul that's in the degradation of sin, that is so deep that they can't figure a way out and have any whatevers. And the bottom line, when He gets to working with it, He can bring them up and out, and He can start a restoration progress that'll amaze them, praise God. He restoreth my soul. Let the right person work with your soul. That valuable soul. The soul that belongs to you. The one that needs some help, praise God. There was a sister many moons ago, many years ago, come down the altar. Fine person. I've known her nearly all of her life. She come down there, and the old general and his wife and I don't know who else went down to pray with him. And she began to explain things that she needed some victory in a certain area. And I don't know what that was. But Brother Salmon said that they counseled her and talked with her, and they started praying. And he said, I had a vision in my mind. He said, I saw a heart. And he said, in that heart, he said, I saw an area in here that's kind of a flap. And he said, in that, he said, I saw some dust in there. He said, then I saw the flow of blood coming down. And he said, the blood flowed in there and washed all of that dirt out of there, that dust out and whatever. He said it washed it all out. And he said, praise God. He said, when I saw all the dust gone, she said, I got the victory. Praise God. I've got it. Listen, there nobody can do the heart but Jesus Christ. And God, to be able to restore, to bring up, to bring out, to give deliverance and power and authority and do something nobody else can do. And Jesus Christ and his righteousness for you tonight. Praise God. It's your soul. What are you going to do with your soul? Are you going to give it into the proper restoration process that he can take it? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He wants you to get on the right path, on the right way. Not the wrong way, but he wants you on the right way, the way of God. Headed up to the place that he wants you to go, and that's heaven at the end of life. All right, let's bring it on down. Let's go to Psalms 42. Psalm 42 and 1. We'll be through here in a few minutes. He restoreth my soul. As a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise. With the multitude they kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and from of the Hermonites and from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of the waterspouts, and all thy ways and thy billows have gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me in my prayer unto the God of my life. Now he said here, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul. In other words, he wants God. He wants God more than anything else. When a hart has been running and running and running, well, let's just put it this way. When you've been running outside, you get a little thirsty? Do you desire something? Sure you do. And he said, as a hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul. These meetings are held for the glory of God and for the good of your souls. The ministers don't just come down here to play games. These things I could do otherwise. But we feel that the Lord would have us to come down here and be with you to encourage you and to help you. I had a man tell me not too long back that, and he's quite a bit older than I am. I've known him for a number of years. His daddy was a minister. He loved his father, had a lot of respect for him, and I never knew his father, but I've heard a lot of good things about him. I've only heard one negative thing in all the time that I've known about this man. He told me, he said, Brother Carl, he said, I'm getting old. My days are coming to an end. He said, I want to go be where my father is. He lived in sin for years. He's given up some things years ago, smoking and a little drinking and different things, and give that all up. But he never has gotten saved. And so he's talking to me and he said, well, he said, there's some things that's hindering me. And he told me what they were. To me, they wasn't worth anything, so to speak. They wasn't that valuable to hinder him. But yet at the same time, I could see where he was coming from. But you know what I did with him? I kept pointing back. I said, listen, you need to get saved. Don't worry about that other stuff. If you get saved, or if you're desiring more of God, And the devil's out there putting some things there to try to hinder you or get you to look in the wrong way. Listen, folks, forget everything and think about your soul. My bottom line was him was, listen, your soul is what is valuable. Let's get saved. Let's go to the Lord. Let's do what you need to do. And everything else will fall into place. Well, it hadn't happened yet. And I don't know when it might happen, but I ain't going to quit praying for him. I want to see this man get saved. I want to see him have victory. And he made a statement to me here a while back that totally stunned me. But after I heard him that night, I seen where he was coming. I see why he made the statement. But I said, listen, let's get saved. Let's worry about the soul first. Let's worry about getting after God. Let's worry about reaching out after him. My soul thirsted for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? He said, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I'm going to tell you, we need to just pour it out and pour it out and pour it out. For I had gone with a multitude. I went to them, the house of God, with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Oh, tonight, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee. I'm going to tell you tonight, if you're discouraged, if you're down, you need to remember God. You need to lift up your eyes into the hills from whence cometh your help. Your help cometh from the Lord which made heaven and earth. I went to sit down to read some scriptures here. Oh, I don't know. It's been 2 or 3 months ago now, 4 months ago. And I'm literally sitting down in the chair, and the Lord brought those scriptures I just quoted to my mind. And he zeroed in, my help. My help. Your help cometh from the Lord. Your help cometh. And tonight, if you're a little discouraged, if you're a little bit down, or whatever it might be, I want to encourage you to look up. One time I was in a battle for a long time, and I was depressed, and I was down, and I was discouraged, and I was going to meeting one night, and I was the only one in the car, and the Lord spoke to me, and he said, you'll never get victory like this. What I would do was looking down. You'll never get victory like that, child. Look up. How many of you have ever gone into a store shopping and looking for something and couldn't find it? How many of you have ever gone to the sales clerk and said, do you have this? Sure we do. Well, I can't find it. And they'll lead you right over there and said, there it is, right there on the top shelf. And I was looking right here and down. They told us in install work, you make everything look good at eye level. Well, I level it my eye level, and my level, Bobby's eye level is a little bit different. But make it look good at eye level. Listen, folks, tonight, we need to look up! If you're cast down, if you're discouraged, if you're depressed, if things don't look like you're going to make it, I encourage you to look up. Take your soul, and remember, your soul is valuable tonight, the most valuable possession you got, and look up. Look up to him that can encourage you and uplift you. 86 of Psalms, let's go there. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, and hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Thou art my God, save me. Save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer and attend unto the voice of my supplications. In the day of trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. I made a mistake one time several years ago. And I'd ask the Lord to forgive me. But about 2 or 3 weeks later, I was kind of looking things back. And this is about 1 o'clock in the morning. I've been in pain at that time almost 24 hours a day. I was hardly ever out of pain. I preached about 4 or 5 weeks in a wheelchair. I'd come into the chapel. They'd help me get in. I'd get in the wheelchair, and I stayed there until they helped me get back in the truck or car or whatever, and Rebecca drove me back home. It was not a good time. But this time, I was looking back. And I was saying, Lord, have mercy. And the Lord stopped me. And he said, what does the Bible say about forgiveness? I said, it teaches me to forgive. He said, I am the spirit of forgiveness. I am the spirit. Listen, child, you done been forgiven weeks ago. You don't need to worry about that. Listen, folks, today, I don't care what mistake or problem or thing, if you're down, if you're cast down, He is the spirit of forgiveness, and He will bless you and help you if you'll reach up to Him. Praise God. Reach up, bow down thine ear. For I'm poor and needy, preserve my soul, for I'm holy. For thou, my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Oh, tonight, reach out to God. I'm encouraging you to reach out to the one that can help you in every way that you need tonight. There's not anything He can't work with. You know, I don't know if you've ever had problems with something and tried to fix it and couldn't fix it. We was discussing something this afternoon, and Paige let me know, Poppy, you probably can't fix it. I said, listen, child, I fixed a lot of things like that. And I might not be able to fix it, but I can at least look at it and see what I can do. Oh, you can't do it. I've never found nothing Jesus can't fix, praise God. He's all power and all authority, and He's able to help anybody, praise God. Anytime I brought anything to Him, from the smallest to the biggest problem or trouble to the greatest sin I had when I got saved, He delivered me and blessed me and helped me all down through my life. He's able to do you the same way. And He's here tonight to do that. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19. He said that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have is an anchor. Which hope? Our hope in Christ, our hope in salvation, our hope in eternal life, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. All right, let's go back to Proverbs 16:17. I'll be through. Oh, something that's solid. I'm going to tell you the world's in a mess. How long is it going to last? I don't know, but things don't look very good to me right now. But I got news for you. I got a hope in Jesus Christ. I got a hope in His plan, in His power, in His Bible, in His Word. I've got a hope in the power of salvation tonight that will help carry me all the way through as long as I keep looking up. It's your soul tonight. It's my soul. Proverbs 16 and 17. It said, the highway of the upright is depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Oh, tonight, what are we going to do? It's your soul. It's your life. What are you going to do with your life tonight? Young people, what do you want? I can look back on my life, and I believe Brother Ed, he's older than I am, been saved longer than I have. But I think he could tell you the same thing. I wouldn't go back and change anything of 50 years. I know I've gone through some rough things, and there's times that I bawled and squalled and hurt and ached and so forth. But when I look back upon the whole picture from A to Z, I'd say I'd leave it just like he done it. You know why? Because it was for my soul. He done it for me. It wasn't for him particularly. I mean, it was for his cause. But the bottom line was, it helped me. Yes. And it glorified God. I went through a long battle one time, and I'm saying this to the glory of God. And I got the victory. And evidently, there was somebody in a certain congregation was watching me. I have no idea who it was. Just an elder sister of the congregation come to me, and she said, there's a certain person, I don't know how old they were, man or woman, but said they were watching you. And said they saw you go through this trial. And they saw you come out with victory. And they said, they told me, said, if Brother Carl can do it, I can too. Yes. That touched me. Listen, folks, tonight, you are valuable. Your soul is valuable. The Lord wants to bless you beyond what you can ask or think. But you got to reach out to God. I appreciate your time, your attention, your prayers tonight. Let's stand.